بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمد ونصلي على رسوله الكريم. We continue reading from the kitab إصلاح العقائد, corrections of beliefs, and presently we are reading the عقائد and beliefs regarding the Sahaba رضي الله عنهم. We continue. Belief number 4. After the demise of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came the era of the Khulafa'i Rashidin. That is the Khilafat of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu, Hazrat Uthman radiallahu anhu, and Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu, which lasted for about 30 years. To accept the decisions of these Khulafa and practice on their Sunnah is like practicing on the Sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and accepting his decision. For example, performance of 20 rakats Taraweeh, 3 talaqs falling when uttered, etc. Belief number 5. One should possess love and entertain good thoughts regarding every one of them. To think or talk evil of them, of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, is open transgression of the law of the Quran. There is fear of kufr regarding such a person. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had said that whosoever speaks ill of my Sahaba, upon them is the curse of Allah Ta'ala, the angels and all the people. If we come to know of any disputes that took place between them, then we should attribute it to some misunderstanding. We should not speak ill of them. Their differences were based on their piety, love for the truth, and fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And differences in ijtihad, that is deduction, those who erred will receive one reward, while those who are correct will receive two rewards. No person has a right to criticize these errors. For example, to rebuke Muawiyah radiallahu anhu is prohibited, as he was a Sahabi, a scribe of the Quran, as well as a close family member of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that is, he was the brother-in-law of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Belief number 6. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had 11 wives. These wives are the noble mothers of the believers. They are more virtuous than all the believing women. Khadija radiallahu anha and Aisha radiallahu anha are the most elevated from amongst the noble wives of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Any person who accuses any of the noble wives, especially Aisha radiallahu anha, of adultery will lose his iman, as her innocence and purity has been testified to in the Quran Majeed. Belief number 7. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had 4 daughters. All the children of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam are worthy of honor and respect. Amongst Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's offspring, Fatima radiallahu anha holds the loftiest status. However, to aver that Fatima radiallahu anha is the only daughter of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is incorrect and contrary to the Quran. Beliefs regarding the awliya. Belief number 1. When a Muslim worships Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and he refrains from sin, frees his heart from the love of the world and follows the messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then he becomes a friend and beloved of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Such a person is called a wali, and the plural of it is awliya. At the hands of such a person, certain acts are at times manifested which cannot be done by others. This is referred to as karamat. Belief number 2, even though a wali may reach a very lofty status, he will never equal the status of a nabi or a sahabi. Belief number 3, no matter how beloved a wali may be to Allah Ta'ala, it is compulsory for him to remain within the confines of Sharia, that is the Islamic code of law, as long as his senses remain intact and he is in a state of consciousness. He will never be absolved of duties such as salah, fasting and forms of worship. No act of sin will ever be permitted for him. Belief number 4, whichever person acts contrary to the Sharia, Yeah. Can never be a friend of Allah Ta'ala. If any astonishing action is enacted on his hands, then this is based on sihr, which is witchcraft, or some satanic influence. One should not have trust in such a person. And belief number 5, the friends of Allah Ta'ala, who are the awliya, come to know of certain secrets while asleep or in a state of wakefulness. This is referred to as kashf or ilham. If it is in accordance with the Sharia, then it will be acceptable, and if it is contrary, then it will be rejected. This is contrary to the dreams of the Anbiya alayhimu salam, which are wahi, revelation, in which there is no possibility of contamination from shaitan. Last night in the Taraweeh, alhamdulillah, the 11th para was recited. The 11th para, the first quarter or so, is the completion of Surah At-Tawbah, and then the entire Surah of Surah Yunus was recited, and just one ruku or so of Surah Hud, which is on the last page of the 11th para, was also recited. The para which commences is actually, as mentioned, a continuation of Surah At-Tawbah. And as mentioned yesterday, the latter part of the 10th para, mention was made concerning the battle of Tabuk, in which the hypocrisy of the munafiqeen was exposed, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in many ayat exposes their evil in nature and their deception and their corrupt ways. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had exposed it. Amongst many things which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had mentioned concerning these munafiqeen was that when the preparations were being made to go for the battle of Tabuk, which was a very long journey, and it was very extremely hot, and the dates also were ready for harvesting in the gardens, and also the enemy was to face were very strong. The Romans were regarded to be a very strong and experienced army. So many, the munafiqeen particularly, they were reluctant to join the expedition and join the Muslims towards Tabuk. And many of them then presented false excuses to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam under false pretext, and different types of lame excuses they presented that for these reasons we will not be able to participate in this expedition. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in a dignified and honorable way, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, knowing fully well that these are just lame excuses of these people, but Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam remained silent and gave them permission not to participate in the battle of Tabuk. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the verses in the towards the end of the 10th para, Allah ta'ala then exposes these munafiqeen, and also very lightly tells Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that we have forgiven you, that you are just giving permission to these people, knowing fully well that their excuses are just lame excuses and they don't really want to participate in the battle. The munafiqeen, they used to give support to the Muslims wherever they saw their material benefit, and where they seen that it was a bit difficult, that is where now they stayed back, like in the Battle of Tabuk, and they presented their false excuses. The beginning of the 11th para, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continues with that some of the munafiqeen who did not take permission from Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam prior to the Muslims' departure for Tabuk, but when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Muslims were returning, Allah ta'ala already informed Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that when you return to Medina, you will find that these munafiqeen, the other munafiqeen who as yet did not take permission, they will come to you and they will again present their false excuses that why they could not participate and come with the Muslims to Tabuk. Allah Ta'ala says concerning them, يَعْتَذِرُونَ إِلَيْكُمْ إِذَا رَجَعْتُمْ إِلَيْهِمْ, that they will put forward to you, O Muslims, their excuses when you return to them. Tell them, لا تعتذروا. Don't make excuses. لن نؤمن لكم. We will never believe you. قد نبأنا الله من أخباركم. That Allah Ta'ala has now informed us concerning your condition, that your excuses are just lame excuses. They have no solid basis on for which now you could be excused. So then Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was told that tell them that we will never believe in what you are presenting. All that has been mentioned in the first ruku of the 11th para. And thereafter Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala then makes mention of the true mu'mineen. Those who were sincere and dedicated, who responded immediately despite awkward and difficult conditions which prevailed at the time of going for Tabuk. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala kept them firm and they responded immediately. Allah ta'ala praises them that those who were the forerunners, those who were the first to lead from amongst the Muhajireen and Ansar, particularly those Sahaba radiallahu anhum from the Muhajireen and Ansar who already accepted Islam from the initial stages and they endured all the difficulties and hardships which the Muslims had to endure concerning them, and those who followed them with sincerity, Allah Ta'ala declares radiallahu anhum wa radu anhu, that Allah Ta'ala is pleased with them and they are pleased with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the lofty status of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum and the declaration that Allah Ta'ala is pleased with them can be seen in this verse, and it is completely contrary to what many deviated groups like the Shias etc. who claim that most of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum after Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed away, they went out of the fold of Islam, na'udhu billah, and they make such claims. Whereas Allah Ta'ala declares that Allah is pleased with them, and Allah Ta'ala knows everything from past, present and future. If Allah Ta'ala knew of any condition of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum in the future, that it will be now, they will not remain on Islam, how could Allah Ta'ala have declared His pleasure and happiness with them? So this clear refutation of what these deviated sects they have believed concerning the Sahaba. We just read in the kitab now what our aqidah is supposed to be and belief supposed to be concerning all the Sahaba radiallahu anhum without exception. Further on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then made mention of some of the mu'mineen, a very small group, a handful of them, who also did not participate in the battle of Tabuk, and they did not present any false and wrong and lame excuses to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There were about ten of them, and from amongst them, seven of them, when they realized the error, it was just a bit of a weakness on their side and laziness that they did not participate in the battle. And when the Muslim army had also departed towards Tabuk, they realized that no, we should now, why did we stay behind? But it was a bit too late because the Muslim army was already now proceeded quite far ahead. But when Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam returned, they admitted their fault and their weakness to Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam without making any excuses. Concerning them, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, وَآخَرُونَ اَعْتَرَفُوا بِذُنُوبِهِمْ. Then there are others who now, who admitted their sin, their wrong which they had committed. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, أَسَلَّهُ أَيَّتُوبَ عَلَيْهِمْ. Very shortly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, soon Allah ta'ala will turn towards them in mercy and accept their repentance. So from amongst them, seven of them, they tied themselves to the pillars of Masjidun Nabawi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they said that we admit our fault and we will remain tied here till Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam does not declare the acceptance of our tawbah, and Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam does not untie us himself. Till then we will remain like this in this condition. In this condition. When Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam returned and he found out about their condition, then Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that I too will not untie them till Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not declare that their repentance has been accepted. And the verses regarding that were revealed, and then they were untied from the pillars. However, three of them, that is three Sahaba radiallahu anhum, the names have been mentioned, Ka'b ibn Malik radiallahu anhu, Hilal ibn Umayyah radiallahu anhu, and Murara ibn Rabi' radiallahu anhu. these three Sahaba radiallahu anhum, they also admitted their wrong, but they did not tie themselves up to the pillars of the masjid, and they admitted that what they did was wrong. Their condition was postponed. Nabi sallallahu alayhi Allah ta'ala mentions, wa akharuna murjawna li amri Allahi. And further on also Allah ta'ala makes mention of them that their matter was postponed for later on. And it comes in hadith, the incident that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, concerning them, Muslims were told to disassociate with them for a lengthy period of time. It comes for 50 days they were boycotted by all the Muslims, these three Sahaba radiallahu anhum. And concerning them, it is mentioned that the earth became narrow and constricted for them, despite the earth being so vast, and their own selves, they became constricted upon themselves, and they were convinced that there is no place of refuge and safety other than by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then Allah ta'ala then declared in the verse, ثُمَّ تَابَ عَلَيْهِمْ لِيَتُوبُ. Then this verse was revealed about after 50 days that the repentance has been accepted, and really they were honored that their acceptance was declared by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the verses of the Quran and Majid, and that is how the incident ends here, that the repentance was accepted. So mention of that also was made here. Besides them, all those who did not participate in the Battle of Tabuk were all the hypocrites, and their evils, etc., were mentioned in the previous verses. Further on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then mentions concerning the great hypocrisy of the munafiqeen, the hypocrites, also which occurred just at the time when preparations were being made to go for Tabuk, that these munafiqeen, these hypocrites, they built a structure near Quba and they called it a masjid. And their purpose was not really that it must be a place of ibadat, but they said that no, we have built this masjid. Why? Because the original masjid of Quba, the weak and the sick and the old, is difficult for them, all of them, to go there, and the masjid is quite small, can't accommodate all the people of Quba. That's why we have built another masjid. And to make it now seem that really the intentions were sincere, they even went to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and told Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that he must come and inaugurate the masjid and perform his salat there, and after that the masjid can now commence. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at that time was preparing to go for the battle towards Tabuk, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, not realizing the evil intentions, Then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told them that no, at the moment we are busy and we will see later on. However, before Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then returned from Tabuk, these verses were revealed in which the conspiracy of these munafiqeen was exposed. Then Allah ta'ala says that those who have made a masjid, a so-called masjid, with the intention of harming Islam and the Muslims, wa kufran, and also to promote their kufr, wa tafriqan bayn al-mu'mineen, and to cause disunity and dissension amongst the Muslimin, wa irsadan liman harab Allah wa rasulahu min qabl, and in anticipation for that person who has waged war against Allah and his Rasul from before. Reference is being made to a person called Abu Amir, who was actually a Christian, a resident of Medina, and once Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made hijrat to Medina to Munawwara, and the nabuwat of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was declared, he viciously opposed the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Muslims, and he tried to help the enemies of Islam at every juncture against the Muslims, and especially at the times of the wars which took place. He helped the mushrikeen, etc. But as he seen the rising influence of Islam and the Muslims were being victorious over the mushrikeen in various battles, then he became a bit despondent and he left Medina and went towards Sham, where at that time the Romans were in rule, and thinking that they were the Christian superpower of their time, then he will somehow influence them that they must send an army to Medina and crush the Muslims.
So for that reason he left Medina, and but when he went to Sham, he secretly communicated with the Munafiqeen in Medina that they must now do the groundwork, so when that army comes, then they can be assisted and the Muslims can be easily defeated. For that purpose, the Munafiqeen built a structure in Quba, and their object was not to make it actually a masjid, but it was to make it a base from where they could now do all their preparations against Islam and the Muslims and cause disunity amongst the Muslims. This conspiracy of theirs was exposed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they even, Allah ta'ala says, they even take qasams that our intentions is only good. Allah ta'ala says, Wallahu yashhadu innahum lakadhibun. Allah testifies that they are just liars. Then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is told, La taqum fihi abada. Don't ever go to that masjid and stand in ibadat in that masjid. Why? Because it is not actually a masjid, it is just a base to oppose Islam and the Muslims. And immediately after that, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then, Allah ta'ala then mentions concerning the actual masjid of Quba, that it is a masjid, ussisa ala taqwa min awwali yawmin, that its foundations was based on taqwa from the very first day, from its inception, and that masjid is more worthy that you stand in there for ibadat. That masjid of Quba is actually the first masjid of Islam, even before Masjidun Nabawi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Medina was built, when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made the hijrat to Madinatul Munawwara. Prior to coming into Medina, actually Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam stayed for quite a few days in Quba, and then the masjid foundations of the masjid of Quba, which is standing till today, that masjid's foundations were laid out already. Thereafter, later on, then Masjidun Nabawi sallallahu alaihi wasallam there was built later on. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention of the masjid of Quba and also praises those people who are there in Masjid al-Quba, that they are people who love, that they must be completely purified. It comes in the hadith that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam inquired from the people of Quba that Allah ta'ala has mentioned your praises, that you like to stay in a state of complete purification. And then they mentioned that the reason for that was that they took extra precautions when it came to the istinja. Many people think that so much emphasis is placed on to make istinja properly. No, this is now the basis for even our acceptance of our salat. If the istinja is not correct and we don't relieve ourselves in the way it's supposed to be and cleanse ourselves properly, then our namazas, our other forms of ibadat are also affected. That they use not only the delas, the mud cloth, but also they use water when making istinja, and for that reason Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has praised them. Further on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention of the ayat, مَا كَانَ لِلنَّبِيِّ وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَن يَسْتَغْفِرُوا لِلْمُشْرِكِينَ, that it is not correct and befitting for Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the mu'mineen that they ask forgiveness on behalf of the mushrikeen. Those who died in a condition of shirk, it is not permissible to make istighfar for them. Ask Allah ta'ala to forgive them. The circumstances of the revelation of this verse was that the uncle of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Abu Talib, after his grandfather had passed away, he took him into his custody and looked after Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as his own son, and even showered more love to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam than his own children. But Allah Ta'ala knows best, he was not blessed with hidayat and Islam, although Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was very eager and very tried his utmost that his uncle accepts Islam, but he did not. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, at that time Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that I will continue to make istighfar on behalf of my uncle until Nabi Allah Ta'ala does not forbid me from doing so. And in this verse, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was forbidden that to make istighfar for anybody who died in a state of shirk, walau kanu uli qurba, even though they might be your relatives, after it has been clearly established annahum ashabul jahim, that they are from the inmates of Jahannam. Further on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then makes mention of the ayat, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu taqullaha wa kunu ma'as sadiqin, that O mu'mineen, O people of iman, fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, inculcate the quality of taqwa in Allah ta'ala, and remain with the sadiqeen, remain in the company of the sadiqeen. In the previous verses, the evils of the kuffar and the munafiqeen have been mentioned. So Allah Ta'ala says that completely keep yourself disassociated with such people and associate yourself with those who are the sadiqeen, those who are true in every aspect, in their beliefs, in their intentions, in their words and also in their actions. And their inward and outward does not belie one another. They are in conformity with one another, whom we call the Allah Walas, the Awliya, the pious people. Stay with them in their company, and then this is a way where you will now get the quality of taqwa. Further on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention of the verse that at the time when the call for jihad is made, and it is not in the form of farz-e-ain, it is not a call of jihad where everybody has to go, then at that time all should not proceed for jihad. In other words, a group should stay behind who should get, who should acquire the knowledge of deen and gain great insight and proficiency in the knowledge of deen, so that they can now teach others. So just as it is a requirement and obligation to break the strength of kufr. Similarly, in this verse, it is also indicated that it is necessary to strengthen the foundations of Islam, which is based on the knowledge of Islam, and this is also an obligation which has been indicated to in this verse. The high status of the knowledge of Deen is indicated to in this verse. The last verse of the surah, Allah Ta'ala mentions concerning the noble qualities of Allah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah Ta'ala says that a Rasul has come to you from amongst you who feels very distressed when you fall into difficulty, and is anxious that good must come to you, and is very kind and compassionate and merciful to the believers. So these were the qualities of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. According to some Sahaba radiallahu anhum, this was the last verse which was revealed in the Quran Majeed. But the most of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum and most of the ahadith indicate that this was not the last verse which was revealed in the Quran Majeed. Instead, it was the verse in the third para, وَاتَّقُوا يَوْمًا تُرْجَعُونَ فِيهِ إِلَى اللَّهِ. The next surah is Surah Yunus. This surah is a Makki surah, and as mentioned previously, the normal discussion and subject matter of all the Makki surahs concerns the fundamentals of deen, that is, to reinforce the aqidah of Tawheed and Risalat, and also concerning Qiyamah. In this surah, these fundamentals of deen are also mentioned. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the first ruku, and also a little bit in the second ruku, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention of His great creations which Allah ta'ala has created, and in that we can see the great power and wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, through which we can recognize Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala speaks of the creation of the skies and the earth, and also the sun and the moon, which are used as means to determine time, and also the alternation of the night and day, and various other creations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are mentioned. And the message is that we should ponder in these great creations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we will realize who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is, His great qudrat and wisdom, and from that we can understand the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and only the one who is the creator of these great creations is worthy of being worshipped. Further on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then makes mention of some of the inherent weaknesses of man. That man is such, when he is afflicted with adversity and difficult conditions, he calls to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He makes dua, whether he is lying down or sitting or he is standing. But the moment Allah ta'ala relieves him of that difficult condition and changes it to conditions of ease and prosperity, he suddenly forgets Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he, as if that difficulty did not exist at all. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is indicating that this should not be the case. As we call out to Allah ta'ala in difficult conditions, we should not forget Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when these difficult conditions are removed. Further on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention of the example of this worldly life. That this worldly life, what is the example of it? It's just like a rain which falls from the sky, mixes with the earth, and we see all the crops and vegetation start growing, from which men and animals also eat. But when the earth has now taken its splendor and its beauty, and now it is lush and green, and the people of the earth, they think they have power over what is growing, and they are ready to harvest it. But Allah's order comes in the form of a punishment, whether a day or night, and all what was growing turned into now a pile of harvested crop, as if now it did not exist the day before, yesterday. In other words, there was no sign of that. Suddenly Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can now destroy whatever was there. So this is the example of the worldly life, that it takes its beauty and splendor, but it doesn't last forever. So Allah ta'ala, by way of example, mentions that. Further on, Allah Ta'ala, then, towards the end of the para, in the third quarter, then Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala makes mention of many of the incidents of the nations of the past, as mentioned previously in the 8th and the 9th para, the reasons why Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala mentions all these incidents, that we should take a lesson from there, also to console Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, etc., were all mentioned, and particularly why the surah also is called Surah Yunus. Is the incident of the nation of Yunus alayhi salam is also mentioned. Yunus alayhi salam's name is only taken 4 times in the Quran Majid, 2 by the name of Yunus alayhi salam, and 2 times by the name of Dhunnun, the person of the fish. And the incident is quite famous. Yunus alayhi salam, despite all his efforts in propagating the message of Haqq, his people remain adamant on refusing and denying the message of Haqq. And then Yunus alayhi salam, he told them that now, you have now become worthy of now that the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala must befall you. And even the signs of that punishment were already apparent. The sky had turned dark, and it was now, and the clouds were gathering, and signs were there. Yunus alayhi salam, without the clear orders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he left his people and went out of there, thinking that the punishment will come now on my people. But his people then realized their folly. They seen Yunus alayhi salam missing, they seen the signs of punishment approaching, and they then completely they repented, and they changed their ways, and they accepted Iman, and that punishment was averted. Yunus alayhi salam, thinking that he was convinced that the punishment will befall them, not knowing that the punishment did not come. But when he came to know, then he felt that the people will call me a liar if I have to come back to them. So he proceeded further. He boarded a ship which fell, which came into stormy waters, and it was in danger of sinking. And eventually the sailors, the people in charge of the ship, they thought that they announced that it seems that a person who has ran away from his master is amongst us, and he has to now be thrown overboard to save us from sinking. And lots were thrown, and each time Yunus alayhi salam's name came out in there, and then Yunus alayhi salam himself then cast himself into the ocean. Allah Ta'ala protected him. A large fish swallowed him, and the belly of the fish became the place of Yunus alayhi salatu wasalam for a period of days. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told the fish to take out Yunus alayhi salam again, and in that way Yunus alayhi salatu wasalam was saved. That incident is mentioned here. For that reason, the surah is called Surah Yunus. And the next surah is Surah Hud. One ruku was read, one page was read from there. Inshallah, we will do it tomorrow.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم إن الله تعالى يقول يا ابن آدم إنك إذا ذكرتني شكرتني وإذا نسيتني كفرتني رواه الطبراني حضرت ابو هريرة رضي الله عنه سے مروی ہے کہ نبی صلى الله عليه وسلم نے ارشاد فرمایا بلا شبہ اللہ تبارک و تعالی فرماتے ہیں اے آدم کے بیٹے جب تک تو میری یاد میں مشغول رہتا ہے اس وقت تک تو میرا شکر ادا کرنے میں لگا ہوا ہے اور جب تو مجھے بلا دیتا ہے تو میری ناشکری میں پر جاتا ہے نبی صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم has said اللہ جل شانہ says O children of Adam, whenever you make zikr, you are in reality expressing your gratitude and thanks to me. If however you become negligent and forget me, then indeed you have been ungrateful to me. بالله تبارك وتعالى.